the end of the day, you know why you're not praying. And you don't need me to tell you why you're not praying. So you tell me why you know you're not praying.
Welcome to the Gospel Coach Podcast. We're here to remind, refresh, resource, and re-engage with gospel coaches all around the globe. Glad you can join us. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., and I'm here today with the pioneer of gospel coaching, Dr. Tom Wood. He's the founder and president of CMM, where for 15 years, he's been training gospel coaches in the cross-conversation model. It has spread from Atlanta to every continent. Power you, the gospel coach, in your ongoing coaching of other leaders. We'll give you examples of what we've learned over the years and invite different guest coaches to share what they've learned through coaching to advance the gospel with their coachees. So whether you're in the US, Canada, England, Scotland, or Cuba, South Africa, India, Australia, Malaysia, Nigeria, or Germany, or any other nation, let's get started cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to send us a note at gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com with questions and comments. Well, good to be back today.
Yeah, what a great day here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, it's a good place to be.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's a good thing it's not like this all the time, because if it was, everybody would want to live here.
That's true.
And then we'd be, you know, 10 million people instead.
Yeah, it'd be like San Diego.
Or New York City.
Or New York City.
Or Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Not that any of those places are bad.
No. I just like being in Atlanta and from Atlanta. So today I was thinking about this topic, and I've worked with you for many years, and I know you've coached hundreds of people, and you've trained hundreds of people, maybe we're training thousands now. But you, Tom, are often called on to help think through issues with churches that are struggling with vitality issues. You consult with church planning networks, and I've seen you ask a lot of questions where you're trying to get a sense of the context and what's going on. How do you do that in a coaching session?
Well, we're going to look at the review part of cross coaching. You remember C standing for what, Jim?
Connect. Yes.
Connect. All right. So we're going to connect. Then the R stands for?
Review.
Review. So in any coaching situation, you're going to review. You're going to talk with the coachee about what they've been working on, what they set out as their objectives, the strategies they've been trying to deploy, whether it's a personal growth issue or a spiritual issue of their own heart or a family issue. Doesn't always have to be church-related, right?
Right.
Because we're dealing with the relational and the personal, the missional, and the spiritual part of them. Mm-hmm. So in the review part of CROSS, the R, we can use a tool that is familiar to business people called SWOT. And Jim, you've used this a lot with a lot of different groups,
yeah,
as we have both. But so in the review section, that's what we want to talk about today. We always ask at the beginning of a coaching call, you know, to make sure that if there's anything they need to talk about that's pressing on them, we want to make sure we handle that in the session. And we can write that down and discuss it later. But we also want to converse over what we discussed before. And we want to ask those good questions again, right, in the review time. As we've said, ask good questions and you'll get good answers. Ask the question in this review time that nobody else would dare ask this person.
Yeah, go there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the review section. And you explain SWOT. You explain, because I don't know that we've used SWOT in our training times.
No, it's something that a lot of people are familiar with. And if you're wondering what that word is, it's SWOT. It's another acronym. Shocker, right?
Not one that I made up, though.
No, mind. No. Borrowed.
Borrowed.
It stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, or potential threats. And it's just a brainstorming session to help a person kind of figure out where they are. And it's used, like Tom said, in businesses. So it's something that I use pretty frequently. I was thinking about this. I use it more for bigger picture issues. Like, right. What's your vision?
Right.
You know, what's the mission that you're on? When a person's trying to think about a big topic like evangelism in the church or how to develop a discipleship program, I do that with them one-on-one. You alluded to the fact that when we do consults, we do that with groups, and it can be super helpful to get a sense of where the group recognizes that they are, and also good for them to hear each other. But we're talking about gospel coaching. Typically it goes well. I don't think I've ever had a time where I've done a SWOT analysis, even just informally, that it wasn't helpful. So it's a really good tool to have in your back pocket and be ready to use when you're reviewing.
That's what you just said. So in reviewing, give me a situation that you were reviewing somebody, could be in one of the illustrations you just gave us, but a real life coaching call in which you were reviewing something that they were struggling to get done.
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind, a guy about a year into a church plant, scratch plant, medium-sized city in the U.S. Guys are super optimistic. I love, people who are optimistic. I'm one of them. Maybe I just love myself. No, strike that. Jesus loves me. He was really considering he was very focused on this one potential building, like on a main road. He was like, oh, I want to buy this building. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that would be great, right? Let's do a little analysis of the situation. So thinking about that building and about where your church plant is, what strengths do you bring to the table? And he listed off some. What weaknesses do you bring to the table? And then what opportunities? There's a long list of opportunities. And then what potential threats if you pursued that right now? And by the end of just going through those four sessions, he was like, I don't think we're quite ready for it yet. It's like, okay, good. But now we know what to look for, right?
Yeah. So like a threat in buying a building, what do you mean a threat?
Well, like if you were able to get it and you mortgaged the church, right, and you were in debt, that would be a pretty serious potential threat to your viability.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, debt. Not a threat like somebody threatening you.
No.
Okay.
Today, it's time to remind yourself of the grace-renewing dynamics at the heart of gospel coaching. Tom's new book, Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing, is the expanded teaching of the core of the coaching you received in your foundations class when you trained to become a gospel coach. David Whitehead, Senior Director and Urban Gospel Coaching Trainer with City to City New York, wrote, "This book is a winner and needs to be read by anyone who is serious about going deeper in their walk with Christ." Dr. Bill Sim, Korean Ministries Coordinator for Mission in North America, who recently completed all the pieces of Gospel Coach training, said, "Vital Grace is like a defibrillator, awakening us to experience a radical outpouring of God's grace." Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing by Tom Wood is now available at Amazon.com. Get your copies today, one for you and one for your coachees, so they are saturated in gospel renewal.
So in the review time, so for him, he's reviewing whether or not this building was going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're providing then an opportunity to give him feedback, because he's looking at it through his own lens, mm-hmm. just by asking the right kinds of questions.
Right. As opposed to telling him what was pretty obvious to me as an experienced church planter, just led him through those questions and he drew the conclusion.
Yeah. So, a coach understands that experience is the key way that adults learn, or a key way, that's for sure. And we're helping them in the midst of their situation evaluate their own learning. They're evaluating what's happening, and they're actively participating in the thinking through of things rather than us telling them,
right,
providing them the answer.
Right,
you're helping them learn.
Yeah,
by actively participating in that. So I remember a pastor I coached once. The guy was an amazing leader. He had a dynamic, growing church. I was honored to be asked to coach him. He was this likable, engaging, you know, good-looking family, fantastic preacher, had a great facility in the heart of his city. People were getting saved. They were getting baptized. It was a dynamic thing. And to this day, I'm not even sure why he hired me to coach him, but he was smart enough to say, I'd like to get a gospel coach. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think that would be helpful. So mm-hmm. in one of my coaching sessions with him, we reviewed one of his spiritual objectives. And that was, he said, you know, I want to create a deeper prayer life with God, which was okay. He admitted to me, you know, I pray with people on a professional level. I pray during, you know, I have the pastoral prayer time in our worship services. You know, you've had that, right?
Yeah. Sure.
So I asked him a question. I said, well, tell me about your own time in meeting with God, about, you know, your own times of confession, praying for your needs, you know, just you connecting with God. And he said, it's non-existent. It's non-existent. So let me ask you, if you were working with him, how would you want to proceed? Let me pose it, because I know what you're going to do.
Okay.
So so what would you assume somebody who's had coaching in a more methodologically driven kind of approach to things? What would you assume a Christian coach, how would you assume that they would start with this person?
Oh.
Just assume, just for a moment, you're not a gospel coach.
Well, if I wasn't convinced of my own neediness, I might be kind of judgmental of a guy who has a non-existent prayer life.
Okay.
And I might just want to, you know, pepper him with Bible verses and try and pump him up and you know, like see if there's anything in the tank, you know?
Okay.
And then hold him accountable to it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do to get started? How are you going to pray for 5 minutes? Let's move from 5 minutes to 10 minutes. It's, you know, just all behavioral and things that we can measure.
Help focus his schedule on praying more.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm
ask him what kind of prayer materials he's read in the past.
Right. Have you ever had a prayer life? Like, yeah. What are the barriers to having a prayer life?
And then, as you said, you probably read a couple of verses in the Bible on prayer and make him feel really guilty and shame him.
Right? Yeah.
Because shame works, doesn't it? It motivates people.
Shame does motivate. I don't know how long it lasts.
And I loved you. I love the, give him the prayer rule, you know, and the accountability. Going to make accountability covenant with you. We're going to win the morning. You're going to win the morning now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Create that strategy to get prayer back. I mean, all of us could use some accountability.
Accountability is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a gospel coach, though, would start somewhere else. So I held you back. So tell me.
Well, I'm going to start diagnosing. You know, this is part of what we talk about in our foundations training, is that you have to be a good diagnostician. I think I said that word correctly. In order to help him with what he really needs. And so, you know, we have the acronym SKIME.
Right.
S-K-M-E. And so I'm going to start asking him questions.
What does that mean, though? So S-K-M-E.
S-K-M-E. S is for skill. K is for knowledge. M is for motivation. And E is for enemy.
Okay.
And so what I'm doing as a coach and what we as gospel coaches do is we're trying to diagnose what is the need of the moment. Does this guy, I'm going to be asking it myself in my head, does he not know how to pray? Does he not have the skill of praying? Has he never prayed before? Oh, those are kind of obvious, right? I'm going to immediately go towards M, motivation, and E, enemy.
So you're going to assume that, that it's a motivational issue.
I'm going to start asking questions in that direction.
Okay.
As a gospel
and see
coach.
What see what happens.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I will definitely check, you know, prayer is kind of an obvious one. Do you know how to pray? You're a pastor?
Yeah, right.
Of course.
Have you ever read a book on prayer?
Have you ever read a book on prayer? Have you ever studied prayer?
And yes, I've taken a class on prayer.
Yeah.
I've read Jesus. You know, we've all memorized the Lord's Prayer. Yes, I know those things. I have the knowledge of prayer.
Yeah.
So you would start, again, back to, because every issue's got a heart component related to
That's
it,
right.
You'd start back probably to the motivational thing. What's really going on inside?
Yeah.
Right, of this person.
Yeah.
And we know because of the ruin that all of us, including this godly pastor of this beautifully big church that is seeing people, he's a great preacher, all this stuff, all of us deal with an approach to God that wants to trust in ourselves because we are inclined at our deepest level to doubt God and to rely on what we can do. And deep down, all of us want to take matters into our own hands.
Yeah.
And even for this extremely gifted, good-looking, engaging, likable pastor, he wanted to make his life work. And he was succeeding at it. So really, what did he need God for? I mean, everything was working, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so this was your case study. I'm going to turn the tables on you. What did you do with the guy when he said, my prayer life is non-existent?
Well, I said, we could spend the next 6 months working on a prayer schedule and memorizing verses on prayer. We could spend, we could read a book together on prayer, or I could assign you a book or listen to some podcasts about having a praying life, or, you know, get hold of John Smed's book on kingdom-centered praying and meeting Jesus in prayer and those kind of things. We could do that. But at the end of the day, you know already how to pray. At the end of the day, you know why you're not praying. And you don't need me to tell you why you're not praying. So you tell me why you know you're not praying.
And where did you go from there when he told you?
Well, as obviously, you know, for him, he was relying on his own efforts and his own abilities, his own giftedness. And the juice that he had was, he knew by raising the issue with me. We talked last time about tells. Mm. So there was a tell in him bringing this up, that this is what I want to work on, because he knows this is not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not supposed to be this Christian leader who's preaching so well and baptizing people and everything's going sweet, but me and Jesus, we don't talk to each other, you know? So, you know, when it got to the end of the day, it's pretty simple, you know, that prayer isn't really what you have to do to get God to anoint you or to, you know, it's connecting with a God who's done it all for you. And since leadership and Christian leadership and pastoring people is about loving God and loving others, we as a leader have to walk by faith, because there's a true intercessor. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, he writes the words of Jesus. There's a true intercessor, and there's a true midnight friend, and he hasn't slept. He's providing for you in every way. There's a true father who doesn't want to give you rocks or scorpions. And we can rely on the one who's loved us so deeply as the Father in heaven has loved his son, Jesus. And you're never going to have the kind of prayer life you want, the connection you're longing for, one that's needed for your health and friendship with Jesus until you give up relying on yourself. A new schedule's not going to help you until you get to the first two dimensions of believing Christ is enough and confessing your own sin of self-reliance.
That's so good. Well, I needed to hear that.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that the story worked out really well after that, but unfortunately, I think within a few months, this coaching relationship didn't continue.
Mm.
But Yeah.
So even when you proclaim the gospel in all of its richness, sometimes guys, for whatever reason, don't want to hear it, don't want to believe it.
Right.
Yeah. That's the sobering part about gospel coaching, right?
It is sobering.
Yeah.
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 But all of that's true.
It is true.
Yeah. Whether he takes it by faith or not, it's still true.
Yeah.
And you, in your life, you've been called, you know, to enter into a very rich and deep and satisfying life in communicating with Jesus. And it's not a rule you got to keep. It's an invitation to come and dine with me, Jesus said, and dine with me in a deep, satisfying connection.
Yeah. If there's a gospel coach listening who's really grappling with their own prayer life, what would be a thought that you would leave, the charge that you would leave them with today?
Well, the reason you feel, they feel like they don't have a satisfying prayer life?
Yeah, they're, for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, you always got to be measured with what that means for people. I remember assessing a guy one time who had rated himself on a scale of 1 to 5 as a 2 in his personal prayer life. And so when I asked him about that, well, tell me what your prayer life's like. He said, well, I only pray 3 hours every morning, and my mentor prays 5 hours every morning, and I can't seem to get up early enough to pray the 5 hours. And so that conversation was different than the pastor who doesn't pray at all or, you know, only does his professional praying. So I would also want to make sure that we're understanding what it means to have an unsatisfying prayer life. But if you're wrestling with it, it's a good thing. I'm glad you are. It means that Jesus is pursuing you, and the restlessness of it, the dissatisfaction of it, shows you have life.
Yeah. Yeah, it shows that Jesus is pursuing you.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah, because so often we just think about prayer as sort of like a tank for the mechanism of our spiritual life, and it's either empty or it's full.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's a relationship that God really is pursuing you through His Spirit.
Yeah. So don't beat yourself up. And if you're a coach, don't beat up your coachee.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.